We are back a little bit after 9 o'clock on a show with no name, and glad and proud to bring in the next speaker in the Little Rock Touchdown Club lineup, which is a powerful lineup this year, as presented by David Basil and many other people. John Robinson joins us now live from wherever he's staying. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning. How you doing?
Hey. Doing fantastic. Doing fantastic.
Did you get a good night's sleep, Coach? I know this is 2 hours. It's 7 o'clock L.A. time. You rest good last night?
Yeah, I'm great. Ready to go.
Yeah, I was reading in the paper over the weekend that John L. Smith had said that sleep is way overrated. If you sleep more than 4 hours a day, you're lazy. I am one lazy son of a gun there.
Yeah, I'm guilty, too.
I'll ask you about that to begin with. Once you start, say, August 1st through bowl season, did you ever sleep in your office?
I think maybe one night.
Good you man.
Know, it just didn't make sense to me. You know, I think some people, that's how they work. For me, I had to get away. I had to go out and see people and, you know, and maybe talk to a couple of them or something, you know, just a little variety somewhere.
I think I saw something on Gruden last week where he was extremely guilty of that. And it'd sleep like 4 hours a night. And I'm like, it would seem to me at some point you turn into anything but a human being. You're staying in the same little room and you sleep 4 hours and then you get up and look at some more film. And it would seem like that would drive one nuts if not defeat the purpose. But the purpose today is that you're in Little Rock and we welcome you.
Well, it's great to be here. Weather looks good. I'm looking forward to the luncheon, and you know, this is the great time of year. Everybody's undefeated right now.
That's right. Everybody's pumped.
And you know, it's amazing, Coach. It's not only that everybody's undefeated. You know, you've got distinct history. I don't know if we've ever had a speaker in the 9 years of our Touchdown Club that's actually coached in four games. I think at War Memorial. Well, actually, you did three. You did two games, but you played against the Razorbacks. Four times.
Play?
Oh. Yeah, as a coach, both at UNLV and Southern Cal.
Yeah, we were here. I started my career at USC as an assistant at off here in 1972 with a USC team. That was a great team. And then we came back 2 years later and were soundly beaten by Arkansas, man. And we went on to win the national championship that year, but our first game, that was a nightmare. Damn near got fired that night as an assistant.
I think that 72 team came in, and that was Joe Ferguson's senior year.
Joe Ferguson, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember one of the quotes was John McKay saying to Joe Ferguson after he had trounced him 31-10, walking off the field, "Don't give up till you win the Heisman." And I'm like, I don't think this is a good start. I don't think this is a good start because Arkansas had played a home-and-home with California before you guys and done pretty well. But USC is a whole different ball club. As a matter of fact, we were talking earlier about the premier program in the country, and right now it's probably Alabama, but USC would be in the top two or three.
Well, I think there's a definite move in that direction. We've always been kind of negligent in facilities and all of that out there. The weather's good, so people just, you know, kind of have shrugged their shoulders. Now we've just built a $75 million athletic building, you know, that's almost embarrassing. It's so nice, you know, and so I think the program is really back on target. I think the Pac-10 is... Or Pac-12 now has fallen behind the Southeastern Conference rather dramatically. You know, so is there every other conference in the country, and I think you'll see at least some of the teams in the Pac-10 try to catch up.
Are you one who believes that ultimately we're going to reach four super conferences or something along those lines? Because it's going to have to shake out and stop somewhere.
Yeah, I think so. I think the television will dictate it. Some of the things that are happening out in our area with the Dodgers, the Lakers and the Dodgers, they're signing TV contracts that are just out of sight, man, billions of dollars in TV. So they're spending just gobs of money to enhance their team. So I think that ultimately is going to be what dictates things in college football. if you had a conference of, you know, pick the top 12 teams in the country and had a conference of those teams, you'd have a tremendous television audience. You'd have a national television audience every week. So I think that's kind of work against the normal, you know, conference alignments.
Well, Southern Cal, certainly, they're among the quote, rock stars of football teams. I mean, them and Notre Dame are the ones that have withstood the test of time. And before I turn you over to the man who brought you to town, David Basil, I would like to thank you for the last time that I saw you in Little Rock. I'd like to thank you for bringing that kicker that you brought.
Oh, boy. Now you're trying to ruin my day, aren't you?
Never have I seen two games where I thought Arkansas was so much better, and you made them look so bad. But once again, whatever that kicker's name was, he belongs in the Arkansas Hall of Fame.
Well, no, we shot him on the way home. Actually, they should have shot me. It was one of the worst coaching decisions I ever made. I would love to take that one back.
Well, you said, Coach, you had a great time in Vegas. You said, what did you share last night? One of the perks of being a coach in Vegas at the time is that what was the deal? What did you say? Something about everybody loved you there?
Well, they hadn't won a game in about 8 years, and we went in there and you know, had a bowl game, had won it, and we're winning it. And I ate free for about 3 years there, boy, in some great restaurants. I mean, it was, Vegas is a fun place and a good place to live, really. But once the 9/11 happened, boy, it went south.
Well, I think today for those who are football fans, they get a chance to hear Coach Robinson talk. And just last night, Coach, I know you referenced some of the big names in football history that were buddies of yours, like Bo Schembechler and the time you spent with him. And then you were a childhood friend of John Madden. And just a lot of stories from the Georgia Frontier lady at obviously the Rams, and just you've had a tremendous career, and I don't know if you ever take the time to reflect on just how, you know, really interesting and compelling and exciting it's been. But I think a lot of folks will be able to enjoy you hearing you talk about that today.
Yeah, I'm sure looking forward to it. When you retire, you can't tell anybody about anything you're doing now because it's not very interesting. So you got to tell those old stories.
Well, I didn't know. I mean, were you 77 years old, and you're still out helping the athletic department at USC raising funds, right?
I'm raising money, and I get free tickets that way. And I'm still doing NFL games on the radio. So I'm my feet are moving, you know.
Do you sometimes look at some of these coaches today and the salaries they make and to go, look here, punk, I was coaching when Paterno was a kid?
Yeah, that's, you know, it is impressive that they're making so much money. There's a whole set of problems that kind of comes with that too. You know, yeah. I think that their lives have changed some, but we could have used the money. Of course, you know, like you always spend 10% more than you have. So,
yeah.
It's relative, I guess.
Yes, that is, no truer words have ever been spoken. As you look at the college scene right now, give me three coaches that you would hire in a heartbeat.
Bill Snyder from Kansas State, I think, is the best coach that I've ever seen.
Wow.
He has done some things there that, they're not on the big picture, but God, he's done amazing things there. I think Nick Saban certainly is in that category. I know he's disliked in the South a lot, but our guy Lane Kiffin has done an amazing job in the first 3 years, and he doesn't vacation in Tennessee at all, but but he has done a really good job, and there are a whole bunch of guys, but. But those guys and the guy Peterson at Boise State. I mean, some of those guys that are at the schools that don't have all the resources are the ones that you look at and say, "Wow, this guy can really coach." Yeah.
That's that's wise words. We're talking with John Robinson, former coach of USC. He'll be at the Touchdown Club today. Starts at 11 o'clock. Tickets are still available. And go ahead.
Not to steal all the things you're going to say today. I mean, you've got so much you can talk about. But one of the interesting things, points you made last night about the NFL is that talking about the lack of a team in L.A. and maybe your opinion on what may happen and maybe what team might end up in L.A. Again, just, you know, hypothetically and what you think. You know, would you share that with us?
Yeah, sure. They're all set to build a stadium. Everything in the NFL depends on a stadium, and they have two people that are ready to put the shovels in the ground right now. They just need an NFL team to commit to be there. They say, you know, and this is the, you know, my gas station attendant telling me this stuff, but Rams might be coming back. The Chargers might be going up there from San Diego. They cannot get a new stadium. And the third team might be the Raiders. So those three teams all are hovering there. You know, I'm not sure any of them are coming, but I think one of those three might well be there.
Your fondest memories, I'm guessing, are probably college football instead of the pro football game. What was that transition like?
Well, you know, when you're the actual doing the work, it isn't a lot different. When you go in and you look at film, you make game preparations, you go out on the field and coach the players. They're the same guys. They're just older. They play really hard, and they do what you tell them. So all that stuff about NFL players or pro players don't care, that's bull. So I didn't see a lot of difference. The thing surrounding the school was what I loved. You know, I love the damn band and the horse. Yeah. All that stuff.
The damn band and the horse.
Well, you know, Wes Sutton last night was talking about they went out and saw the game and we lost 77-7. And Buddy Sutton, Wes's dad, said, "I thought that horse was going to fall over dead. It run out there so many times after that game."
The horse has been, you know, and it doesn't matter where you are. I married a gal last year from New Orleans who went to LSU, and she's wacko about LSU. You know, if USC ever played LSU, I'd sleep in the other room for the week. You know, because and that's what's so good about college football, and it's what's so good about college football in the Southeast. I mean, it's important. Sometimes in the Pac-10, everybody gets on their surfboard and forgets about, you know, the importance of all this. But the fun part is that you care about it.
I just hate saying goodbye to the some of the traditions like A&M and Texas. Yep. And Kansas and Missouri. But I guess they slog on and they'll take us somewhere with this.
Yep, yeah, and there'll be new ones and all that. But it's still, you're right, things that you're used to seeing. And that's all of us that are getting old. We look back and say, "Back and if no such and such a year," you know. And the kids all look at us and say, "Huh?" You know?
Hey, Coach.
I went back to SC and was at a function, and a student came up to me and said, "You know, my mother doesn't remember you, but my grandmother, she remembers you." And I said, "Oh my God!"
Hey, Coach Tommy, had asked you about some of the coaches that that you might look to hire. If you were looking for an offensive coordinator, would you consider a Bobby Petrino?
Oh, I think so. I think he's a great coach. You know, you have to work through the issues that he had, but you know, two or three years after something happens, you know, those things, you know, get eclipsed a little bit. But Bobby Petrino is one of the best coaches, period. I don't think there's any question that he'll resurface somewhere, and hopefully can overcome the, you know, what was not a good move.
Would somebody pick him up as a head coach right away, you think, or would it
happen? I don't know. I don't know that. I think, you know, somebody would have to talk to him and all that. But just if you're looking for a guy who is a great coach, he's in the top echelon of coaches. You guys know that from what he was doing here. There's just no question. Now, does a guy get a second chance? You know, you'd like to think so.
I hope so. Well, we're going to be looking for one in about 10 months. So.
ooh, now wait a minute.
That brings a good question, John Robinson. I am the only one that believes this. If he goes 10-2, I don't see how there's any way on this planet you get rid of John L. Smith.
Well, I don't know anything about the local things here, but I would tend to agree with you. I mean, coaching is you do it or you don't, and I think what people's opinions are, particularly before the fact, don't matter. Because that guy that I had some people that thought I was the dumbest idiot in the world, and then we beat Notre Dame and UCLA and went to the Rose Bowl. I turned smart and handsome. Some amazing thing.
Well, Coach, listen, we look forward to hearing from you at the Touchdown Club today. We're so glad that you're able to make the long trip in, and we appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you at noon today.
Thank you for your time.
See you guys.
Thanks, Coach.
Bye-bye.